Okay, I guess we better get to work. We have a new turbo bridge. did they fall? You did that? You ordered it up?
Yeah, Ion was talking about turbo bridging ages ago.
They've done something. They've changed their situation here.
They?
Turbo bridge. They
superfluous.
All right.
It's superfluous. They.
Let's see what Sarah has to say.
How about that, Judy Jacobs, Ion?
Rah 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 rah, Reedy.
Who's Judy Jacobs?
Yeah, what about Judy? That's what I said.
Who is she?
What about that? What about that, though?
Well, I said, yeah, what about that, though? She can get it. Judy Jacobs can get it.
Mm-hmm. Judy Jacobs?
That song is hot. And there ain't no God like Jehovah, and I don't know why you didn't play that part.
Who's Judy Jacobs, Sarah?
Just the person that they most commonly have seen that song on YouTube. I don't know.
What's she saying, Carol? We have to mute her? What's she saying? You're saying Judy,
all right.
I just want to know who
Judy Jacobs Tuttle.
She's a pastor and a singer, and she's on YouTube.
Oh, and that now you like her? You're
and she sings Days of Elijah. You were playing Days of Elijah, which is the song she sings. That's what she's responding to.
Well,
you're going to have to keep up with your show.
Was it Judy Jacobs, or are you saying, Sarah, you would have rather had Judy Jacobs sing it?
Oh, no, that was Judy Jacobs.
Yeah, I don't see that in my world. Okay, so
nice.
we meet Sarah, and we bring in, I don't know if she wants to talk, but she never gets a chance to talk. So go ahead, Katie.
Good. Tell me something fun.
I wanted to ask you if you would tell me about Mary, the story of Mary, and if there were three Mary to the three Jesuses.
At least.
What the deal is with that? Well, tell me some things about that.
You got Mary, Jesus' mother. You got Mary Magdalene, who found him at the tomb. You got Mary, the slut who slept with everybody, and she was all jiggy with the Sanhedrin. Well, actually, there were seven Marys altogether, but, you know, at least.
So Mary the slut was different than Mary the Magdalene?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Tell me more about that.
Well, what do you want to know? We just told you that.
What was the Magdalene?
She was a Syro. She was a. They changed their names. See, them, the Syrophoenicians, they were just loose as the fowls of a goose. They were just all over the place.
Well, let's go back to Mary, mother of Jesus. When I asked if there were three Marys, I specifically meant were there three Marys that bore a Jesus, that gave birth to a Jesus in the earth plane.
Well, no, see, you got it all tangled up, so.
Okay,
no.
Untangle me, please.
Okay.
Let's go Jesus by Jesus. So the first Jesus, was that actually a virgin birth, or is that a metaphor?
Wasn't a virgin, it was the angel came to visit her and got her jacked up.
So
it said in the scriptures that an angel of the Lord came upon her and got her jiggy.
But isn't
so
he the eternal one? He never got crucified. He didn't get born. Is that accurate to bring that point in? Or none of us
basically,
got born, and we're not talking
basically,
about that level.
Basically, yeah.
But there is a birth scenario, you're saying, with the angel. Even though he never got born, you're saying there is a born thing.
Not necessary.
The story about a manger and a birth in a manger and this stuff that humans tend to think about Mary, that she had an unwanted pregnancy, and the song, Mary, Did You Know, and all of the anguish that she went through as an unwed mother betrothed to Joseph and all of that. What does that translate into in terms of any kind of truth or reality, or is that all just like a myth?
It's a cliched archetype.
That serves what purpose for humanity?
Jigs you into the thing of getting you into the ascension mode, because without the ascension it doesn't matter.
How does that get us into the ascension mode? Were any of the Jesuses born?
Second Jesus was.
So let's talk about second Jesus. How was second Jesus conceived?
Through an ovum.
How was that ovum fertilized? By a human sperm or an angel sperm?
Yes.
Tell me about the fertilization.
Human sperm on that one.
I'm interested in talking about a Mary that had a pregnancy with a Nephilim. Did that happen?
Oh, that's the third Jesus, yeah.
Let's talk about the third Jesus. Is that the one where the angel came upon her and got jiggy with her?
Yeah, and the first one, too.
Was there a sex act that took place?
Hell yeah, they tore it up on the weekends.
So she enjoyed it.
Well, it might have been a little striking. The angel seemed to kind of get wild with it.
Did the angel have a penis?
You bet it.
So they had intercourse?
Do.
The angel and Mary had intercourse?
Yeah, it says that the angel of the Lord came upon her, so there you go.
Did she enjoy it? Did she enjoy the sex act?
That's what it said in the Bible, though. It ain't us, it's the Bible. It's what the Bible says.
So it wasn't like
sorry,
mating,
Katie.
Like animals. No, no, it's fine. It wasn't like mating like animals. Like they were they made love. She wanted him.
Well, I don't know about that. It was just came on.
Was it like a rape?
It was a rape.
It's only rape if you have an unwilling victim. She was coerced into it. It was all right.
She
was
coerced
kissing?
Into it. You just said coerced into it. She was forced
into
it.
Yeah, but that's not. No, coerced means that they talked it up and they had some slow gin fizzes and they had been to Samaria and got some water.
They went out to dinner. They went out to dinner.
He loved her. He loved her up a little bit. And she was like Lincoln on 100. She just had to get it. She just had to get it. Next thing you know, he didn't know what happened and the angel was taken unaware.
Was she married to Joseph at the time?
She was never married to Joseph. He just took her as a wife because she was knocked up.
Ah.
She was never.
She was a
single girl.
She had her first boy. She got pregnant. What do you think of that, Katie? That's a
bang, bang, bang with the trolley.
Ring, ring, ring with the bell.
Well, if you do it right, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So this third Jesus son was born?
Yes, came out kicking and screaming.
Through her vagina?
Yes. It was a really, 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 really natural birth.
In a manger?
No, you don't have the birth in the manger. You put the baby in a manger.
Oh. Was there really no room at the inn?
She got it in the inn, that's right.
Was she hiding? Did other people know about this pregnancy and that it was from an angel?
No.
She didn't even tell her best girlfriend?
Yeah, they talked.
So somebody knew.
Was her best girlfriend
yeah.
Carolyn? Was Carolyn the best girlfriend?
No.
Was Carolyn the,
no.
No.
No, I was the angel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Well, news at 11.
Was Katie there?
Was I there?
Yes.
What was I doing?
Goading.
During the labor or goading during the sex act?
During the travail, in the birthing.
Was this third Jesus crucified?
Yes, he was.
So was Mary all upset after that, or during that? All the story about Mary watching her son and being all upset and all that, that's told in the Passion play that around this
time. And in there, but right before all this happened, there's another great story I want to tell you about too. It's great. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is going to be like the Catholic version. You know how it goes. Jesus was walking through, and they had found this woman in idolatry. She was a hooker, as it were. and they lined up. Well, of course, the rules, Leviticus ruled the day. The Leviticus rules are clear. If you get caught in adultery, you're stoned by a crowd. So they rallied up the crowd, and they lined up, and Jesus walked up, and they fixed to start throwing the big rocks. I'm going to stone her. And Jesus walked up and says, hold on, baby. Wait a minute, easy. What do you mean? He said, we're going to stone this woman. She's a whore of Babylon. We're going to stone her right here. And Jesus turned and he said, ye who be without sin, cast the first stone. And all of a sudden, the sun turned off like he flipped the light out. In the horizon came a boulder, the biggest boulder you've ever seen in your life. Come over the crowd, blotted out the sun, splat. Cream that little whore to death. They wasn't even nothing left but a greasy spot. And you know what Jesus said?
Let you who are without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah, and then when that happened, and then he turned around and he said, Oh, mother.
A mother?
Yeah, because see, the Catholics believe that Mary didn't have any sin.
She threw the stone because she had no sin.
She threw the rock and smashed the little whore because, according to Catholicism, Mary, Mother of Jesus, didn't have any sin. She was sinless. She was virginal. Maybe they meant versatile. She might have been versatile instead of virginal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Queen Elizabeth had going for her, too. But don't get too far from the Leopold and the Land girls. They're all about, aren't they, Bob?
When you say Queen Elizabeth, you mean the first Sir Walter Raleigh's friend?
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, so don't get distracted.
Boleyn's girl.
So the little whore that got smashed by the boulder and left the greasy spot was Mary?
Oh, Mary threw the rock in the joke. Don't you get the joke?
Oh.
Yeah, it was somebody who was in trouble, and Jesus intervened.
So, because she's the only one without sin, because she's been declared to have no sin by the church.
Got it. So
According to the Council of Nicaea in 25. I'm slow.
I was taking it too literally.
It's okay. We thought we were nervously telling it so slowly or badly or wrongly that you missed it altogether. So we were going to argue for our limitations for a second there, but it would be
over.
It's going to get funny.
Seriously.
It'll be funny. We'll poke it till it laughs anyway, won't we?
Of course. Okay, so tell me how the Passion Play prepares us or puts us on track for ascension.
The Passion Play doesn't. It's the ascension. The Passion Play just shows you how you fail. Jesus was the representation of 100% man and 100% God. Well, being created in the form and the image of the Creator, the pornographic version of God is the little man. So you're outliving the little man. But now you can do things. You can do great wonders and all this kind of stuff. And you can save Big Pharma. And you can do all these wonderful works and that kind of stuff. But what we're trying to get you to do is to come all the way to God. And how you do that is you've got to go through the ascension like Jesus. Now, that story is found in the Emmaus Road. Emmaus, not the Damascus Road. That's where Paul got struck with lightning. This is the Emmaus Road, where they're walking along talking with the Christ, and they didn't even know it. And then he told Mary Magdalene, says, don't touch me yet. My ascension isn't complete. It's coming. I'm evolving into God. That's the marriage that turns into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the church still does this by intinction and communion. They say that you're taking in the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That's what they're saying that you're doing so that expatriation can turn to the body of Christ, that you can bring that into you. That's the same thing we're saying, too, only it's already you. You've already got it. We're just trying to move you from little man back to God. And it's working very well with a little help from my friends.
What's the Passion Play? What's that referred to?
It's this week in the church where it starts with Palm Sunday and talks about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Waves their palms, and then there's Maundy Thursday, and that's a foot washing, and then Jesus took everybody in the upper room and had the Last Supper and taught them how to do communion in remembrance of him, and on Friday he was crucified, and then lays in a tomb dead for 3 days, and on the third day the stone is rolled away, and they can't find his body because he's ascended.
So Easter is next weekend or this weekend?
This is Palm Sunday. where they wave the palms of victory, the palms of glory. It's when Jesus rides in on an ass.
So we're having our anniversary on the Palm Sunday weekend.
Yep.
Must be significant.
Katie, let's ask about Mary Magdalene. What did you say about Mary Magdalene said, get away from me, I'm on my ascension, don't interrupt me?
No. Mary Magdalene is the one who, they went and got her when the stone had been rolled away. They went and got her because actually they was having an affair, that Jesus. They was sort of jiggy with it. But they don't talk about that a little bit. But she was good because she was at the upper room, too. She slept with most of the epistles. But that's another conversation from the fire from the fingertips and they rolling up the bow. Wait, oh, no, that's the devil went down to Georgia. That's a different one, too, for sure. Okay, so then what happened is they went and got her and run up there to see him. The stone was rolled away. Nobody couldn't move it. The tomb was empty, and that's all cool. Then he's gone. Well, then she's coming back crying and sobbing, and then all of a sudden she saw this image of Jesus. And then she reached up to touch Jesus, the master, because he had holes in his hands and his feet, and his side had been pierced. Mm-hmm. And he said, stop. Jesus said to her, said, stop. Actually, he said, stop, bitch. Don't touch me yet. Homie, don't play that. And then he said, wait, my ascension's not complete yet. So she couldn't touch him until his ascension was complete. Because there was this vulnerable position between little man and God that you go through. And she was the one who witnessed that.
Can you give us an example of how Ionettes go through that vulnerable transition?
Yeah, okay, yes. And it has to do with the atmosphere. Environment and heredity. It's the age-old mesh. Your heredity states that you're going back to God or you're going to leave this body. Those are the choices. And either one's okay with us, and they both end pretty well as far as we're concerned. But in the environment, that has a conditional response. Like the reason that a little man needs pain is because you're so stupid, you'll stick your hand in the fireplace. So pain is a good thing. It tells you to stop. It says, please don't stick your hand in the fireplace. Oh, but Mama did and Daddy did and Papa did. Everybody stuck their hand in the fireplace. And we're saying, yeah, but you don't have to. The chain of pain doesn't have to go like that. You really don't have to. So what happens is the pain in the little man's position is how it guides you into keeps you from being stupid, like sticking your hand in the fireplace. Now, you certainly can stick your hand in the fireplace. There's nothing wrong with that. And as a God, you can do it, and it won't. We took all the heatness out of the fire, and with the heatness out of the fire, then there's really no problem. But that's not what you're talking about here. The vulnerable place between itch and scratch is that shifting when the plasma changes, when the marrow shifts, when the final increment is in play, the final step.
Right, so there'll be a shifting sensation, something will happen, and then we have to decide, is this pain or is this pleasure? Am I going to go back to the pain train and what my ancestors say I have to go through, dying with tubes in every orifice, or am I going to go with the pleasure, which is my ascension?
Yeah, John 20:17.
People note on the chat line, Ion mentioned bone marrow half an hour ago. We were a little ahead of you.
And in your inbox, there's another one, too, that's good. Play them both.
Okay. What's John 20:17?
Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go. This very subtle is the equivalent to our Lord saying, don't touch me, Mary, bitch.
Katie,
yes.
Theme of the atmosphere, Ian was talking about it yesterday. People are becoming agitated a lot, impulsive, suddenly shooting their neighbor. And Ian says it's because the atmosphere has changed and the little people feel it, and it doesn't feel right, so they get edgy. So you're going to find people yelling at you, getting pissed off in the soup line or in the store. They're all edgy. That was brought up first time the other day to me and Carolyn. Now he just mentioned it. So that's an important point.
Yeah, so the touch me not, I've got John 20:17. Touch me not is don't touch me with the past, with my ancestors, with the conditioned response.
That's your theory?
Is that right, Ion?
You're making up a theory? She's been counseling up a theory.
No, Bob,
she's being a scientist.
She's gone to hypocrite biology again. Wait a minute. No, it's Leviticus. It's Leviticus. No, hypocrite biology. Leviticus 16. It's about the atonement. The priest fulfilling the day of the atonement, Leviticus 16. That's the reference. But now, there's a thread in what you're saying, Carolyn, that'll apply. But it's, if you bring that back to, and connect it to the atonement, you're going to be much closer to it.
Leviticus 16, the day of atonement. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. So on and on and on. Anything I should read out there on the interminable 34 verses?
No, let Katie, it's Katie's interaction. Katie, what do you have to say, Katie, at this point?
But what's the atonement?
What is Mary?
The atonement. Hold on one second, Karen. Mark, the atonement. If you draw a dot between the atonement, what you said in hypocrite biology, and what we said in John 20:17. It'll meld, and you'll get that ecstasy issue sort of solved. Basically,
okay.
If you knew you could do a procedure, and the procedure, however comfortable or uncomfortable for different ones, had an outcome predicated that you know 100% comes out this way, and you know it will, then all you have to do is prescribe it, and then they can choose it or not choose it. But you're trying to get to atonement in the ascension process. Atonement, ascension, assailants.
Atonement's new, isn't it, Bob?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And did he say assailants? Assailing? Assailant?
Yes.
That's the landscape.
That's the landscape. That's what y'all have done now. People killing each other just to be killing. Now they got things, tote guns, they can go around and shoot people just for shooting people. You know, you get shot for having a gun. You get a gun, they shoot. You got a gun, bam. You a Muslim, bam. You dead, bam. They shooting dead people. God, they got the Walking Dead. They make a TV show about the Walking Dead, then they have the Talking Dead right after it. It's the doggone thing
Katie,
you ever seen in your life.
Katie, they're going to,
yeah.
As people get more agitated, start killing people and acting out anarchistically almost, they're going to cite McLuhan. It's TV caused this, or the internet. Or they'll cite LaRouche, who'll say there's not enough of a high-level technology developed, not enough machine tools. Or they'll cite William Irwin Thompson. It's because there's an angel hovering over us, and the chakras are all screwed up. Or they'll cite Coker and say, oh, well, it's not even human anymore. That's just Android meme. Or they'll cite Dobbs, and Dobbs says, oh, it's due to the atmosphere changing. And I will be right, and the other four will be wrong.
Hail Bob.
Because I cheated. I went to the Academy and talked to the real thing.
Oh, hail my precious name of Bob, let angels prostrate fall. Behold him as he
climbs
the throne and crash. No, I thought
the law version. I'll do the fossil law version. Back to Katie.
What was going on in the tomb for the 3 days?
Well, that's a long story. See, they had wrapped him in the Shroud of Turin, which really is the Shroud of Turin because it's from Turin. No, it's because they took it. No, they stole it. No, wait. There's a long story. There really was a Shroud of Turin. And what happens is when you start getting this shift, this assailant, as it were, it's a prolific shift and change in the body. Can you hold on 1 second? This is going to be very important, and it'll help you
here
for, explain it all, okay? Hey, Bob.
Okay.
Yes.
Go over to your inbox.
I'm walking over there.
I can see him. He's doing it.
Okay.
He's sitting down.
Now play this one. It's solid, liquid, and gas. Play that one.
Okay.
That'll explain the Shroud of Turin, and this will explain the contrasting view of what went on inside the dead man's tomb. Okay.
Yeah, no, Katie, he sent me this 2.5 hours ago.
Right.
A whole bunch of stuff for the show. Came into my inbox, in my email. He knows my private email. Okay, so here we go.
Have you ever seen static electricity cause a spark of light? What is that spark? What about light, the northern lights, or the tail of a comet? All of those things and many others, in fact, 99.9% of the universe, are made of plasma. Plasma is a state of matter, drastically different from the more familiar forms. Take ice, for example. Ice, a solid, melts to become water, a liquid, which, when heated, vaporizes into steam, a gas. Continued heating of the steam at a high enough temperature causes the water molecules in it to separate into freely roaming hydrogen and oxygen atoms. With a little more heat, the ionization process occurs, and the negatively charged electrons escape the atoms, leaving behind positively charged ions. This mixture of freely roaming negative and positive charges is plasma, and at a high enough temperature, any gas can be made into one. These freely moving charged particles behave very differently from the particles in other types of matter. When a doorknob, a solid, has static electricity on it, it doesn't look or behave any differently. And with the exception of a compass or other magnetic object, we rarely see matter respond to a magnetic field. But put a plasma in an electric field or magnetic field, and you'll get a very different reaction. Because plasmas are charged, electric fields accelerate them, and magnetic fields steer them in circular orbits. And when the particles within a plasma collide, or are accelerated by electricity or magnetism, light is generated, which is what we see when we look at plasmas like the Aurora Borealis. Plasmas aren't just beautiful celestial phenomena, though. Imagine a tiny cube made of normal gas with a very high voltage across it. The resulting electric field pushes some of the electrons off the atoms and accelerates them to high speeds, causing the ionization of other atoms. Embedded impurities in the tiny cube of gas cause it to gain and release a precise amount of energy in the form of ultraviolet radiation. Attached to each tiny cube, a fluorescent material glows with a specific color when ultraviolet light at just the right intensity reaches it. Now, make a rectangle out of a million of these tiny cubes, each separately controlled by sophisticated electronics. You may be looking at one now. This is called a plasma TV. Plasmas also have implications for healthcare. Plasma chemists create highly specific plasmas that can destroy or alter targeted chemicals, thereby killing pathogenic organisms on food or hospital surfaces. Plasmas are all around us, in forms that are both spectacular and practical. And in the future, plasma could be used to permanently rid landfills of their waste, efficiently remove toxins from our air and water, and provide us with a potentially unlimited supply of renewable, clean energy.
A lot of LaRouche this past week, and 40 years ago he was talking about plasma physics was the new horizon for breakthrough science and technologies. Are we going to do something different from the plasma physics that was just described?
No. All this was describing was what happened in the tomb when Jesus was dead. That's what that's about. But now the plasma in your meat sack body is going to change, and some of the examples are the ones like the ones that are given. That are referenced there, so that's what that's about.
So was it necessary that the Jesus that experienced this transformation in the tomb where he changed his body, he had to be like a combo human ovum and angel sperm? That was necessary to the process?
No, that's just to add the vibrance to the story. We have to single him out, or we'll say, what if Jesus was just like everybody else? What if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home? If God had a name, what would you call it? You see, and it goes on and on and on. If he was just a regular Joe, nobody would give a fuck. Right? And that's no good. So you have to isolate him. What about the three Jesuses? Only one of them got reported. So when you get this Jesus thing, you got to isolate, you got to make it a story. We told Bob this very clearly. You have to tell him. You have to tell him what you're going to tell him. Then you told him. Then you tell him what you told him. Then you tell him that you told him. And then you tell him that you're going to tell him again when you told him that you're going to tell him again. And then you tell him one more time, and then you told him that you tell him. And then when they get through that, you tell him one more time. And then you can say, you tell him what you told him, what you told him, that you tell him, that you tell him, that you told him. That's how you can tell if you told him or not, because that's how you tell. The told tales, okay? So that's how you do that. Mm-hmm. So we had to make that Jesus special. So if you make that Jesus special, then he's isolated and it brings you up. Otherwise, you getting your 15 minutes of fame getting to play with us would never waste your confab with us on something as ridiculous as a regular Joe. See?
So,
it's just that easy, really.
So do the angels have an analogous story about...
They have a very different story. They have a very different story. They're teasing. They're teasing. They're just trying to goad you into this thing. I mean, you do realize Lucifer is an angel. And so he likes nothing better than to play and play and play and poke and rant and jab and convince you all kinds of whittly things. Because, see, if he wins, he don't have to go to work. If you win, he's got to go his ass to work. That's not what he's interested in doing. So you have a little conflicting storyline that you're having to embrace, you see.
Jesus was dead in the tomb, correct? Like his heart stopped.
Yes.
He was not breathing.
Yeah.
He was dead as a stone.
Now we don't know about dead as a stone. Stones are never dead. Stones are alive. Okay. So he can't use that one.
So was he aware of what was going on?
Well, hell yeah. He's still eternal, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you could do isolate looking for the stone. Now, that's right. Bob, you're good. You're pretty good at this. Bob's had practice, you see.
So when he ascended, and then he stayed for a little while and gave the Holy Spirit to his disciples and then went on?
He most certainly did not. That was done on the Damascus Road, long before the Emmaus Road, for Pete's sake.
What was done? The Holy Spirit was given?
Yeah, long before that. That would have to be in the, that'd be in the Quoker Quadrant, for Pete's sake.
So then what happened after he completed his ascension? The stone was rolled away. He said, "Bitch, don't touch me."
He went to Brentwood to live happily ever after.
It is still there?
Mostly.
So was the crucifixion painful? Did he have to die that way, or is that just part of the story to lure us?
That's part of the story. There was the recollection of the Eli, Eli, Abba Sabbatani, which is, Lord, Lord, why have
you
forsaken me?
Father, Father, have you forsaken me?
Yeah, 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 because he's like, wait a minute, this ain't supposed to happen like this. Wait a minute, I am God. Wait a minute, what do you mean I have to die? What do you mean I have to prove it? I ain't proving nothing. I ain't telling these ridiculous, inappropriate little snots what's up. It's not my damn job. Wait, stop. Why are you doing this? Don't do this. Why are you doing this? Stop it. And it goes, oh, no, no. So then it's also like, oops, I'm sorry about that, but oops, there it is.
So will we all go through a tomb-like experience, or is the ascension process different for us now with the drops and whatnot?
Well, that's up to you.
I mean, I'd rather not. I'd rather just have it.
Then don't.
I'd rather just slide on in.
There you go. That's what Bob said. He said, why should I go to heaven? Leopards is right here.
What was the significance of the Passion Play?
There wasn't any.
Ion?
There wasn't any. It was just the you have palms. That's important. Why would they use palms of victory, palms of glory?
Are you asking me why they would?
Yes.
He was the king of the Jews. They were excited, so they were waving the palms and singing Hosanna, Hosanna. Zana, Zana, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, like Jesus Christ Superstar. That was just... Someone was worthy of palmery at that time. It was just what they did for a custom. And he rode in on the lowly ass.
Are you trying to tell Ion something?
I mean, I'm saying it kind of as a question. I would love it if you could clarify, Ion. I would love it.
There's a reason palms were used.
Are they a vegetable or a plant from another world?
Are you asking us?
Yep. I thought that was a question. Are the palms significant because they're from another world? Like mint?
No, it's like coconut, date palms, the Acrea palm. There's different kinds of palms. Queen palm. There's lots of different
palms. So what would
palms.
Be significant about palm as a symbol?
You have to look up what palm is.
The Bible tells us people cut branches from palm trees, laid them across Jesus' path, and waved them in the air. They greeted Jesus not as the spiritual Messiah who would take away the sins of the world, but as a potential political leader who would overthrow the Romans. Their shout, Hosanna, meant save now. It was a Trump procession.
Who saved that?
Hey, Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump.
Jesus' triumphant entry in the Bible, triumphant.
But see, the Evergreens said that Jesus was a political action.
Man.
That's not played up in the Bible. What do you think of that, Katie? So who's saying that, Carol?
It's some Bible analysis of palm branches.
And they're saying it's a political symbol.
Well, they're saying they were doing it to him as a political leader. I'll have to look more to see why they were using it.
Is she on the right track, Ian, or would you add another aspect that we don't know?
No, we're talking about they chose palms for a specific reason.
Well, she just gave the reason.
In ancient times, palm branches symbolized goodness, well-being, and victory, depicted on coins in important buildings. Now, I mentioned coconut palms. I mean, you get food from coconut palm trees.
Okay.
I suppose
what's in palms?
Oil. Palm oil. Oil.
Did they get a response from you, Ian? Did they get you going? No?
Nope. Didn't work.
Not much.
Ian goes, not much. Okay. Katie, do you have something to say about that? Palm oil.
No, I mean, I... No.
You're flummoxed. You're stumped. Karen's looking at something. She's doing research.
I mean, I'm thinking hearts of palm are delicious.
Right.
Herbs had different significance, like laurels were another thing that was worn on the head to signify victory. But I mean, I don't think we're on to it. There's something else. There's a reason. Ion, please tell me the reason.
Direct approach.
She's on her knees, Ion.
Since you were direct, then you should look in the Goober Snatcher.
That means the chat line. Ah, he has a Wikipedia palm branch symbol. It's a wiki. Oh, someone. If Ion's 2:30, then that was Ion. But someone has posted the. Wikipedia palm branch symbol.
We put it in there. What
okay.
Did somebody? Play us and see how that works out
well,
for
it doesn't
you.
Say your, it doesn't say your name. It just says dot 2:30.
we were short. It's shorthand, Bob.
2:30 could be significant to what the palm is about.
Okay, are you doing it, Carol, or shall I do it?
I'm cut and pasted it. I put it in. I'm... getting it, palm branch. The palm branch is a symbol of victory, triumph, peace, eternal life. Woohoo! Eternal life.
Oh, eternal life. Oops, there it is.
That's like our Iondome. That's like our RNA Drops website where we promise eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
We're remembering that you are eternal. So this is another prediction of Iondome, right, Ion? The third Jesus is celebrating Bob and his group, correct? Bob and his companies. Are we on the right track there?
Bob et al.
Do you realize, Katie, that you could never understand the Bible till now?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we are the first to be exegeting it with Ion's help. Therefore, what we're learning in the Bible is the first time humans ever heard what it actually means.
You've got to look at the flavonoids.
Flavonoids, Carolyn.
Gallic acid.
So, Ion, then every year we save the palms and burn them and use them on Ash Wednesday.
That's right, because of the H2O2. It ranges from 38.48% to 49.13%, which within the correlations, the positive, negative, and weak, they become an antioxidant. And the mineral extractability of sun-to-seed date fruit.
Now, that's knowledge. We just got some knowledge there. Right, Katie?
Mm-hmm.
We went from just waffling around about Mary screwing angels, and now we've got hard-ass chemistry. That's the wonder of Ion.
Does the burning of those palms have anything to do, like, with...
Nephroprotective properties.
Nephro.
Kidneys.
Good. Protective properties. You got to hold yourself together. The only reason we play and let Dr. Dean get away with what she gets away with is because she's got to keep you ridiculous people alive long enough to ascend.
That's what we're doing with the drugs. We're keeping people alive. They would have all died, passed on, and no guff to go to.
Beats the hell out of chemotherapy.
Well, okay, Katie, I think you've had a good run here. You get your 50 years of fame. Did very excellent, evoke new knowledge. It was tremendous. Thanks for participating. We wish
Thank
the same
you.
For you.
With a lot of lipoprotein and to kill cholesterol oxidation and DNA breakage. Excellent.
DNA breakage. A band could call them. Get your nieces to call themselves DNA Breakage. That'll get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see how long you stay around. If you stay around, you might get another chance, Katie, for more. Or if you come back tomorrow morning, you get another chance. So there's much to do. So if you're interested and valued your experience, if you did value it, we know that, then you might want to hang around for more. If the other INets fail to ask any questions, we go back to the experts or the ones that are doing well today.
Ion, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Oh, okay, how very placating she was to you, Bob. That was great.
Play Katie.
That was beautiful. That was a good old good one, honey. You got him. Got you again, Bob. She got you again.
Okay, very good. We should go into a different direction. Are you there, Roxy? Okay. Lead into your research or questions.
Doom, doom, doom. CK Alien.
Your phone's too close to your mouth. You're mumbling.
Print slowly. Print slowly. Don't forget that.
Okay, you ready, Roxy? Got your mic fixed?
I already say it.
What did you say?
J'ai trouvé le château de la Bastille d'Orfay à Forêt.
You understand that, Ian?
Et la salle héraldique de la Diane.
Of Diana. And we said, la divine enfant chanta tu son nieta. Il est né, la divine enfant. That's what we said. Son éve imon. Son éve imon. That's the answer, was son éve imon.
Yes, but most of these castles were constructed on more ancient castles.
That's true. That's right. Wait a second. Hold on. You're going to convince us. But we're already convinced. We appreciate it so much. But let's get to the good part. The actual stones that connect the castles are stones like Isam Lee talked about, that they were looking for the stones. The white stones, they are the same. That's indicative of those 12 castles. Maybe 13 castles. Just like they just now found the burial chamber of Nefertiti just the other day. Been combing the sands of Egypt for a billion years, and they just now found it just a little bit ago. And it was there all along. So what you're trying to connect the dots to are what is called the white stone.
But also with the water, because one of the functions of the castles was to distribute the water, and the word château O means water. And in this castle, they have a painting from Gerolamo Sciolante, which is the cloud they have encoded with water, like l'esprit secondant les eaux.
Hey, Roxy, the white stone makes water. Roxy, the connection is direct. The water is what the white stone as eye block does. The white stone makes water. So that's the connection. So can you put the two together there?
Yes, because in this castle, there is also like some caves, artificial caves. And some of the symbols I've seen there, I had dreams with those things. I even almost flew up when I saw that.
You almost flew off? What's that mean?
Flew up.
Oh,
I
threw
vomited.
Up. Vomited. All right. In your dream, you almost vomited.
No, in these.
When you remembered
kingdom.
It. When you remembered it.
No, I recognize it. I had dreams with.
Oh, before. And you say you almost vomited in the memory of that.
Well, to see that they exist somewhere.
But usually those symbols are means for parallel worlding. I don't know how Ian would say it. Symbols are only for marker points.
Well, it means that if you need a roadmap to get back home, those are what you use to find your place on the grid sometimes.
And somehow also water, because I dream a lot of places with water.
Well, see, that's just the connection.
But in this hall of genealogy of the Diana, they have in the ceiling like 17, 28 compartments with a lot of coats of arms. I think that's the first archive or record they made of the genealogies.
Revelation
2:17 is about the white stone. That's where Carol mentioned the name.
That's right. But it's hidden manna and white stone referred to in this verse.
What are the coats of arms got to do with it?
Hermeneutics.
That's the explanation, the grammar, the exegesis.
Hermeneutics, that's what it's about.
Is that there because Leonardo da Vinci had input there? That knowledge? Since he influenced the Sistine Chapel?
No, it's more Exodus. It's when they wondered.
What's Exodus got to do with the making of the castles?
Revelations 11:9.
You're saying these castles were made by Moses when he was there?
Yeah.
Mormon. Now you get that, Roxy?
Yeah.
These were made.
It's to show it means what it the symbols that the name means to show, which is hidden. The hermeneutics is to show what is hidden.
Yeah, hermeneutics is the explanation.
Yes, and they also had things. They have things in the entrance of the.
Katie did.
The castle.
What'd you say, Ian? Kia Dibs?
Katie Dibs.
Katie Dibs. You referring to Katie Thomas?
Katie Dibs. No, Katie Dibs, the grasshopper.
Oh, you're spelling out the word. The technical name for grasshoppers.
No, Katie Dibs, yeah.
In the chapel, they have some quotations of the Bible. They're in Latin, so I'm not sure what they are exactly. But the paintings are about the Ark of Noah. Is that relevant?
Yeah, it's a long-horned grasshopper.
Then this castle was the property of La Marquise de Durfee, and she is like the next generation after Frank and Claude Dufay and Margarita and all these people. She was very close to Casanova Cagliostro and Saint-Germain. And from some chronicles and from the biographies of all of them, we can know some of the things they were trying to achieve there. And I found it very interesting that a noble woman was criticizing her because she will spend so much money given to Saint-Germain or Cagliostro and Casanova. She wanted to born again, but they thought she could get pregnant and die and born of her own body. She wanted to reborn as a man. And when this noble woman went to visit her, it was very hard to see her. She was in front of the fire, and it was summer, and it was very hot. And maybe because they were boiling water, because she found it very weird that in summer she said she felt cold.
What's the question you're leading to?
What was she really trying to achieve with Saint-Germain and Cagliostro and Casanova? And I also found out...
Well, no. Let's stay with it. Ian, are you going to answer that question?
Re-clarify it.
Yeah, make it short, Roxy. What's the name of this woman? Is this the Margareta woman we've talked about before?
No. She's Jeanne de Fay.
I don't know what that means. Jeanne de Fay. How would you spell that?
Jeanne. Like Jeanne.
J-A-N.
De.
D-E.
And her last name is Ouffay.
Ouffay. Jeanne de Ouffay. Okay.
She was La Marquise de Ouffay.
Okay, so make that a question.
She spent a lot of money doing some research with Saint-Germain, with Cagliostro and Casanova.
So?
What was she trying to achieve?
As directed at you, Ion.
Giuseppe Verdi.
Was he alive then, the composer? She was trying to influence the opera?
Did influence him.
All right, so she wanted a better opera?
No, one not based on Marcel Pagnol.
You just said something about one not based on. Shouldn't you say one based on?
One not based on. It was based on it. This was changed.
Because of her. She wanted that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Verdi's 1813 to 1901. When does Jeanne de Fay live, Roxy?
In the 18th century.
100 years before Verdi.
Ah.
She was eccentric. She's known by many artists because she mentioned in the biographies of Saint-Germain and Casanova and Cagliostro and other nobles.
Mm. Okay, so
but,
she...
even in the... In the film by Fellini, she spoke great in the Casanova film, I think. Saint-Germain had a lab in Chambord that the King Louis XV allowed him to live and have a lab in Chambord. What was he doing there?
Connecting the dots.
What's his name?
Sur la table.
Hey, Ian, could you spell Jeanne de Ouffay?
Hell no. Why would we?
I tried to Google it. That doesn't come up.
You mean it's not in the Wikipedia? It can't be, then. It can't be. It can't be. Bobby said it's not in the Wikipedia. Then send the link.
Jeanne.
Put the link on the Goober Snatch.
So, Roxy, you said Jeanne. J-A-N, then D-E, and then U-F-A-Y. Jeanne de Ouffay. Is that... the correct spelling?
No. Just D, apostrophe, U-R-F-E.
Urfe. And it's Jan, J-A-N?
With an accent.
Right. Durf, the
Jan,
E apostrophe, Durfe.
Jan
Durfe. Okay, so let's see if that works. Trying to get her dates. No, nothing comes up.
Google.
Is it J-A-N?
You can Google Claude Dufay. That was the best friend of Francois, Frank the First.
All right, Wikipedia.
Google together, and the castle was given to him by Frank the First after he took it away from the Connetable of France.
Hey, guess what? I tried to put in Claude Dufay.
The fifth.
I got Claude Dufay, and then I Googled it, and it says the page you requested attempted to redirect, because I translated it, says the page you requested attempted to redirect to itself, but which would cause an infinite loop. We can't get
that. Pop, go to the curling club in Canada. It'll be great.
Okay, they give me the dates. This guy is 1558. He was Chevalier of the Order of St. Michael, Governor of Dauphin. Okay, so that's Claude. Now you're talking about his sister, right?
No, I suppose she's like the grand...
grandmother?
No, she's after him, like maybe
grandchild.
One or two generations.
She's not Marguerite de Navarre. She's not that. Okay, well, I'll get an approximation. So now she's communicating to Verdi, who's 300 years later. What do you make of that? Ask about that.
They'll move to Montreal.
I've seen many people were interested in that castle. One of the ministers of Napoleon, the widow, sold most of the furniture, and the Rothschilds got many things from the castle. Like some windows and furniture from the castle.
Yes.
Chateau de Ferrier.
Some Philippe II stuff that was great.
Were they using that for porcelain?
Yes. And the one of Macedon, too.
But I have the impression this castle is sort of important.
It is. It was from Philip II, yes.
And is there any truth in what they say the Marquis de Fay was doing with Saint-Germain?
No, it's not yet. The version is a little bit wrong. We haven't had time. Bob has had us on the grid all week long. We have been running around crazy like a one-armed paper hanger. We have not had an opportunity as of yet to correct that in the Wikipedia. So please, 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 we beg forgiveness. We haven't updated yet. It'll be ready in just a little bit. We haven't quite got to that done yet, but we'll be to it in just a second. Then all will be known.
And
it's about Alexander the Great, the assassination of Philip II, and André Castanet. That's what it's about.
In the Chronicles about Saint-Germain, what they say they were doing there.
No, Philip II of Macedonia.
Philip II of Macedonia is the guy that LaRue says worked for the oligarchs to wipe out Athens. But Alexander the Great did whooped him good. And then Aristotle was sent out to kill Alexander the Great, according to LaRouche.
And that pillaging is what the Lafittes put in their house when they robbed the castle with that shit.
Wow, I was just reading that this week, Roxy. So,
It's Darius the Third all over again.
Asterius the Third. I wonder when he lived, or she, or maybe it's a dog.
Darius the Third. I know. Wow. He was the last king of Persia, Bob.
And that's what Roxy is looking in. She's stumbling into this mixture of Philip II, Darius something, and the Great.
Now, Alexander VI of Macedonia. That's his grandson.
What is the relationship that my mother was reading a book about Alexander the Great when she was pregnant? That's why I'm called Roxana Olympia, like the wife and like the mother.
Yeah, Olympia.
Alexander the Great.
Oxanthius of Persia.
So is my name something I put there to remember something specific?
Alexander. It's just the dynasty of Persia.
How does this relate to these castles?
The White Stone and the staircases, the lifts. It's a riddled clue.
It's a riddled clue?
Darius III was Alexander's stooge.
Did they have access to the White Stone?
They found it in the Battle of Issus.
Issus. I think I've seen that. I think it's
you
Issus.
Have. We fucked it up in Pompeii.
So they built the castles before the ones that we see now.
Yes.
Ah, see? It's castles built way back there, well, way in there, way beside there.
Day after yesterday and soon after tomorrow.
So you get that, Roxy?
You said Frank the First was Alexander the Great.
Who said that?
I am said that.
No, Alexander got there before Frank. Frank built over Alexander's works.